Jesus in the gospel, according to John, has a deep, deep fondness for metaphors about himself. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the water of eternal life. I am the gate. That last one, the one before us today, seems stranger than the others somehow. I am the gate. I don't imagine it was where the disciples thought Jesus was going with the image of the pen of sheep and the rightful shepherd who can enter through the gate, whose voice the sheep knows, versus the strangers who have to climb over the fence to get in. Knowing Jesus as they did, they might have expected an I am statement, but I bet it wasn't the one they got. And indeed, as the teaching goes on, Jesus does also say, I am the good shepherd. But that's not the bit we're looking at today, which is, I think, a good thing. We're pretty familiar with the idea of Jesus as a shepherd. Many, many of our churches, though not this one, include a window of Jesus with that sheep draped across his shoulders. There are fewer stained glass windows, however, depicting Jesus as a gate. So what might that image reveal to us about the nature of Jesus and our calling as his followers? My first thoughts about gates are mostly about closed gates, gated communities attempting to keep undesirables out, the gates at the playground attempting to keep running children contained and safe from the road, the gates between pastures on a ranch attempting to keep horses out of one another's space. But of course, all of these gates must also sometimes be open gates. Otherwise, those wealthy residents, the children, the ranchers, would all be trapped. Gates aren't simply barriers. That would be a fence or a wall. Gates are, in fact, the openings in barriers, the point where a boundary can be crossed. And this is one of my favorite things about Jesus. He is the ultimate boundary crosser. On a cosmic level, Jesus is the one who shows us that heaven and earth, divine and human, even life and death are not actually separate from each other, not barricaded off, but in fact connected. And on a more earthly level, Jesus was constantly crossing boundaries, eating with people he wasn't supposed to eat with, talking with people he was not supposed to talk with, women, Gentiles, lepers, tax collectors, Roman centurions. He opened up new ways of thinking about the law and about family and about justice. If Jesus is a gate, he is a well-oiled gate that swings wide. But this particular I am metaphor is not without context. And that context is about a gate that is not always open, but is very often closed. And if you have ever watched a child make a run towards a busy street, you know the value of a closed gate on a playground. If you have ever tried to catch a cow as it wanders happily through a field of hay, you know the value of a closed gate on a pasture. The gate on a sheepfold keeps the sheep safe, opening only for the rightful shepherd to come in, find their sheep, and lead them out to pasture. Anyone else who wants the sheep has to enter illicitly, climbing walls and capturing unwilling sheep who know this shepherd is not their shepherd. So the gate is a source of security for the sheep and also evidence of the trustworthiness of the shepherd. Jesus is the gate, the way by which the rightful shepherd leads their safe and comfortable sheep out to pasture, a riskier place to be than the sheepfold, but a necessary place for nourishment and for life. So if Jesus is the gate, who is everything else in this story? The sheep, the shepherd, the bandit. Now, the beauty of metaphors is that we can cycle through all the roles to mine the fullness of understanding. Jesus himself, as he continues talking, will shift his interpretation to make himself the shepherd. But taking pity on preachers who don't want to write 5,000-word sermons and congregations who don't want to listen to them, we have been only given this slice of Jesus' teaching for today. Today, Jesus is the gate, not the shepherd. So what if we, as his followers, are the shepherds, sent to gather up our sheep so that they might have abundant life? If we read the story with these eyes, it turns into one about outreach and evangelism, but with some interesting elements. First, access to the sheep only comes through the gate, which is Jesus, remember. Second, the shepherd does not recognize the sheep. The sheep recognize the shepherd, and so willingly follow back through the gate, Jesus. Different shepherds will be followed by different sheep, and they will all pass through the same gate. As the gate, Jesus' role seems to be first about discernment. Is this indeed a rightful shepherd? A shepherd who will love and protect and nourish the sheep? And second, about freedom, releasing the sheep into the world under the care of their rightful shepherd. As the shepherd, our role is to ensure our pasture is truly life-giving, and then to show up at the sheepfold for our sheep and no one else's. Who belongs to us, with us, is not up to us. We take whoever comes when we call. And while this may be a relief to you as it is to me, freeing us from the uncomfortable burden of convincing or converting anyone, it is not actually an easy thing. We still have to put ourselves out there, make ourselves available to whoever needs the life we have to share. As the church, we do not exist for ourselves, but it's hard work to avoid simply creating a lovely little bubble, a gated community, where we all feel safe and comfortable and happy, and where we control who comes in and out of the gate. But Jesus isn't that kind of gate, and we are not called to be that kind of community. We aren't the ones who get to choose who responds to our voice. We're the ones called to be ready and able to receive them, whoever they are, ready to lead them to good pasture, where they will find life in abundance.